Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. Our featured interview today is with David Webb of The Great Taking. We'll be playing that after this news analysis. And boy, do we have a lot of very disturbing news to share with you today. One of the biggest pieces of news is that the United States Supreme Court has betrayed America, including some justices that were appointed by Trump. The court voted 5-4 to allow the federal government to demand that Texas remove its border wire, which is attempting to halt the ongoing illegal migrant invasion of Texas. So the Supreme Court is ordering Texas to allow Texas to be invaded. This is a total invasion. Thousands of people every single day coming across the border. Governor Abbott is doing what any governor would reasonably try to do, stop the invasion. And the federal government says, you can't stop the invasion. You have to allow your state to be invaded. Yeah. So the justices that sided with the Biden administration are John Roberts, Amy Coney Barrett, yes, so-called conservative, Ketanji Brown Jackson, of course, Elena Kagan, of course, and Sonia Sotomayor, of course, because they're liberals who hate America. So those five, I mean, John Roberts, really? Amy Coney Barrett, really? It's incredible because, look, Alejandro Mayorkas is committing treason against the United States of America. His Homeland Security is funding invasion camps in Panama and other places. And you've seen Michael Yon's coverage of this and Anthony Rubin from muckraker.com and Ann Vandersteel and others have covered this extensively. There are invasion camps that are funded by the United Nations, funded by the United States and other NGOs as well, that are just sort of staging locations for the mass invasion of the United States of America. And unbelievably, the Supreme Court says Texas has no right to stop the invasion. That decision is an act of treason because we are in a war. The U.S. Supreme Court, at least those five justices, are allowing a wartime invasion of the United States of America. And it really begs the question, at what point does the state of Texas take a stand and say, no, we will not be invaded. We're going to keep the razor wire in place, or we're going to build the wall, or we're going to stop the invasion. And if you don't like it, then, you know, come make us stop it. I mean, this is going to start a civil war because it's treason by the Supreme Court. It really begs the question, doesn't it? Who has blackmail material on the Supreme Court justices, huh? Or who are they really working for? They're clearly not protecting America and the Constitution. They're allowing America to be overrun, occupied, invaded, and destroyed from within. And we all know that the federal border patrol agents, they're ordered to simply accelerate the invasion. You see them helping people come in. You see them lifting the wire, lifting the fences, or tearing them down to allow an unlimited stream of illegals to come into the United States. Folks, this really underscores the reason to vote for Trump, doesn't it? I mean, Trump will try to stop this. And so, you know, Governor Abbott is trying to stop it as well. But we are ruled by a treasonous, illegitimate, occupying enemy force, a terrorist regime in Washington, D.C., that is deliberately working to destroy the United States of America. I mean, didn't every member of the military and law enforcement swear an oath to defend America against enemies, both foreign and domestic? These are the domestic enemies. I mean, how more obvious could it be? They're demanding that Texas be invaded. Wow. Texas AG Ken Paxton said, quote, federal agents have developed and implemented a practice of destroying Texas's concertina wire to encourage, induce, and assist thousands of aliens to illegally cross the Rio Grande and enter Texas, or Rio Grande. He said federal agents in some cases attempted to ease aliens' ability to illegally climb up the riverbank into Texas by attaching ropes or cables to the back of pickup trucks. Federal agents regularly cut new openings in the wire fence, sometimes immediately after Texas officers have placed new wire to plug gaps in fencing barriers. See, I mean, the federal agents are working against America. They're working against the state of Texas and the American people. Governor Abbott said, "We've had it. We're not going to let this happen anymore." Okay, well, let's see what you're going to do, Governor Abbott. I mean, this is worth fighting for. This is worth taking a stand. You can't let these black robe wearing, blackmailed justices in Washington, D.C. allow our country and our state to be invaded by illegals. It's time to put a stop to the invasion and to defend our state and defend our nation and tell these justices to go pound sand. It's time to do it. It's time to take a stand. And it's pretty clear that if Texas takes a stand, then the federal government's going to send probably troops, and then we're going to be in a civil war. And, you know, sadly, that's exactly what the federal government wants, is a civil war in Texas. And then they want to arrest Governor Abbott and arrest Ken Paxton and charge them with treason. Oh, how dare you try to defend your state against an illegal invasion? Well, that's a crime in America because, of course, the criminals are in charge in Washington, D.C., and they will stop at nothing to see this nation destroyed from within. Now, I'm not the only one who thinks that Texas should take a stand here. Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana, Republican, said, he posted this on X. He said, "Congressman Higgins, the Supreme Court just ruled in favor of the Biden administration over the state of Texas, saying that the federal government can remove physical barriers at the border put in place by Texas. What are your thoughts?" And Higgins answered, "My thoughts are that the feds are staging a civil war, and Texas should stand their ground." Yeah, I mean, he's right. You know what Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution says? It says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Well, then if the Supreme Court is going to protect Texas from invasion, it would have to rule that Texas could protect itself against invasion. So clearly the Supreme Court has gone utterly unconstitutional, completely off the rails. Unreal, unreal. So again, if Trump gets sworn in as president, the very first thing he's going to do, I would imagine, well, I would say the first thing he's going to do is pardon the J6 political prisoners. And the second thing he's going to do is he's going to erect a border to stop the invasion. And then he's going to start having law enforcement across America run a bunch of traffic stops and round up all these illegals during traffic stops and deport them by the millions. But do we even have time for that? To wait that long? Because Biden and the Democrats are about to legalize all the illegals and by executive order give them the right to vote in the upcoming election. Yeah, that's their secret play. Their ace in the hole, so to speak. And they're going to try to pull that off. They're going to have tens of millions of illegals voting in the election. So maybe it has to be Governor Abbott deputizing every Texas veteran, every law enforcement officer, active or retired, every concealed carry holder, every law-abiding citizen in Texas deputized to defend the border. I mean, the Supreme Court can say, well, the government can cut the razor wire, but what are they going to do if you have 10,000 Texas citizens right there with their rifles saying, we're defending our nation and our state against an invasion? What are you going to do then? You're going to have the feds fire on the Texans? You're going to have Joe Biden's F-15s attack Texas civilians? Yeah, see, this is why I'm concerned that this is how a civil war begins in America. Don't forget that the federal government erected all kinds of wire and fencing around the U.S. Capitol after January 6th. Well, they had no problems building all kinds of barriers and protections, and they turned the whole D.C. area there into a giant prison camp. Oh, they'll build walls when they want them, when they want to keep the citizens out of the Capitol building. But they won't even allow walls or wire to be built to keep invaders out of Texas. That's how bad this is. And it's really gotten to the point where, frankly, if the governor of Texas and Paxton, I know he's doing his best, but if the leadership in Texas and the people in Texas don't together stop this invasion, there will be no Texas and there will be no America. The United States will be completely overrun and destroyed from within, which is the plan by the globalists. And that's where Biden and Obama and the Clintons are getting all their marching orders from the globalists. And their goal is the complete destruction of the United States of America, the extermination of the American people, and the replacement of Americans with illegals who will vote Democrat. The plan is unfolding by the day, and the Supreme Court is committing treason. Who do we appeal to if the U.S. Supreme Court is now committing treason against the United States of America and utterly disregarding the Constitution? Who do you appeal to? There's nobody left except we the people. That's it. And I have a feeling it's going to come to that. I think Texas should secede from the Union at this point. I mean, it's insufferable what D.C. is forcing Texas to endure. A wartime invasion. Texas needs to break away from the Union, declare its independence, build a wall, and arrest any federal agents that are colluding with the enemy. I mean, that's actually what needs to be done. It probably won't be done, but I guess the average Texan, the average oblivious Texas citizen is going to sit around and wait until they're completely overrun by illegals, and then it'll be too late. They're like, what happened? How come nobody did anything? Yeah, because you sat on your ass and watched, you know, sports or whatever. You didn't do anything. That's what happened. And you notice the Democrats just ignore the Supreme Court whenever they want. Like on student loans, you know, SCOTUS rules that the federal government can't forgive all the student loans. Just Joe Biden just does it anyway. Oh, we're just going to ignore the Supreme Court. Well, hey, guess what? Two can play that game. Governor Abbott should just announce, well, we're just ignoring this Supreme Court decision. We're going to put up the wire. We're going to stop the invasion. And if you don't like it, why don't you come do something about it? See how that goes down. The bottom line in all this, folks, is that there's nobody in Washington, D.C. that's going to lift a finger to protect this country. Nobody. Almost without exception, every single one of them is actively seeking the total destruction of the United States of America. And now in Europe, the leaders of those nations are also actively seeking the total destruction of their own nations. The leaders of Germany are seeking to destroy Germany, and they're doing a really great job. The leaders of France are working to destroy France. And their latest target is, well, the farms. And now we have farmers rising up in France, blocking the roads with their tractors, protesting the government's policies that are designed to engineer widespread famine and food failures all across France and impacting Western Europe. And the same thing is true in the UK and other countries as well. Western European nations are committing, well, what's the right word? Democide? I mean, suicide? It's democide. It's death by government. And so is the United States. So is the Supreme Court committing democide, ordering Texas to allow America to be invaded, occupied, and destroyed from within. Boy, Jeffrey Epstein sure made the rounds, didn't he? I mean, they must have dirt on all these people, which means Israel has all this dirt. You know, no wonder America is defending Israel's borders or expanding them. and doing nothing to defend America's borders. But I've got a special report here about the farmers in France and their protest now and how angry they are at the French government taking down the food infrastructure there, just as the German government is doing as well. I mean, what do these governments plan to do? Just have mass famine and death and starvation and impoverishment all across Western Europe? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. That's exactly what they plan to do. And then the migrants come in and replace all the Frenchmen and women and the Germans and the Brits. They just replace them all. And the Spaniards all replaced. And the Italians all replaced. And the Americans all replaced. There's a theory of why this is happening. I'll talk to you about that on the other side of the special report. Listen to this report first. I recorded it earlier. It's about the farmers' protests in France. Give it a listen. Well, not long after German farmers launched their protest against government policies that are shutting down farming across that country, French farmers are now shutting down major roadways and launching other protests against government policies that are making it impossible to engage in farming and actually break even, not to mention turn a profit. And this is part of the ongoing war against food and farms across Western Europe. This war is reflected across Western nations, including the United States and Canada, as well as Ireland and the United Kingdom and so on, where globalists have ordered national leaders to destroy their countries, to shut down the food supply, to keep the borders open and have a rush of illegal immigrants coming into countries like Germany and France and so on, in order to destroy these Western nations entirely. This is what's going on. It's engineered famine, it's engineered war, it's an engineered occupation, and it's all being done under the guise of being green. Oh, this is why we have to shut down the farms, you know, to save the planet. So, yes, if you're in Western Europe, you should understand that your national leaders are actively working to destroy your nation. And I think they've succeeded. Western Europe is finished. It's already been overrun with so many millions of illegals that it will never recover. The economy has been gutted. The food supply has been destroyed. The currencies of the West, including the dollar, have also been eroded to the point of near collapse. The banking systems are incredibly fragile. The elections are rigged. The media don't even function as a free press anymore. The governments of these Western nations have turned into terrorists, waging wars of terrorism against their own citizens. And now, with this attack on food and farms, it's only a matter of time before widespread famine kicks in, and we see people across Western European nations begging the government to feed them. And that's exactly what the government wants. They want to have people enslaved under the weaponization of famine. Now, it's not a coincidence that, by the way, even the United Nations says that this weaponization of the food supply is one of the strategies being pursued by Israel against the Palestinians. They've controlled the food supply for decades. No food gets into Gaza without the approval of Israel. And Israel only allows a certain number of calories to enter Gaza, which is, you know, a giant police state prison camp, essentially. And Israel doesn't allow enough calories to go into Gaza to actually sustain a population. It's a starvation level. And that is a model for what the UN has planned for the entire world. Not only are they at war with farms and nitrogen, you know, saying nitrogen is bad and carbon dioxide is bad, and plants are bad, and animals are bad, and people are bad. I mean, it's a total war on every living ecosystem on our planet. But on top of that, they are planning to engineer food scarcity at such a degree that people will line up and beg for their governments to feed them. And you can bet that when that day comes, you'll only get your food credits if you obey. You have to obey what the government wants you to say or believe. You won't be able to speak freely and have food credits. So food will be used as a weapon, or scarcity/famine, against the people. And the only way to avoid that is to have your own food supply. And I'm not just talking about backup food or stored food, because even though that's important, it can only last so long. You're going to have to learn to grow your own food, at least some of it, just to augment whatever food you can get from other means. You'll need to learn to sprout. You'll need to learn to grow some herbs, grow your own medicine, nutrients, maybe potatoes for calories, things like that, or to have your own ranch animals or your own backyard chickens so you can have chicken eggs, for example, like I do. But you're going to need to augment your food supply. And as part of the control system that's going to kick in here, you're going to have rationing across the grocery stores of Western European nations, as well as Canada, the United States, and so on, probably Australia and New Zealand as well, where you will have to scan in when you arrive at a grocery store. So they'll track your location, they'll scan you in, and you will only be allowed to purchase a certain number of things. You know, one chicken a week or whatever, one dozen eggs a week, one box of cereal a week, 1 pound of ground hamburger a week, 1 gallon of milk, whatever. And you can't exceed that. No matter how much money you have, you can't exceed that. Now, of course, there will be a black market for all these farm goods. And then there'll be a whole police force, a food police, running around arresting people for selling chicken eggs on the black market, you know. But for mainstream people, they will have to rely entirely on the grocery stores and the quota system or the rationing system that will keep them in a state of starvation. And that's the future that awaits those who do not prepare. You'll be lined up, you'll be enslaved by the system, your speech will be controlled, your food purchases will be controlled, and of course, you know, they'll have the central bank digital currency, the CBDC system, so that you won't be able to make purchases without the government's permission anyway, you see. So it's a total control grid, your food, your money, your speech, your elections, your future. This is all coming. You can see it happening. It's being rolled out by the day. Just watch. It's coming your way. In the meantime, store some food. If you want certified organic lab-tested storable food, of course, we have some at healthrangerstore.com. And we have lightning deals now on the homepage. You can see what we have on sale for very short durations, lightning deals there. But more importantly, learn to grow your own food. Learn to sprout, learn to garden, learn to save seeds, learn to harvest. We also sell the seed kits at healthrangerstore.com. We have ARC seed kits. You can just go there and search for seed kits, and you'll see those. And when the spring comes, well, you can get planting. This is a really critical skill set for all of us who want to survive this. And just as importantly, you want to survive with your freedom intact. And that's not going to be easy because, well, the food police are coming. The police state system is going to crack down on food and seeds and gardens. You'll probably end up being engaged in guerrilla gardening and seed smuggling, you know, some kind of illegal trafficking of seeds operation in order to just survive. Yeah, that's coming too. have no illusions. Now, a realization about all this hit me today. I got to share it with you. I couldn't come to terms with trying to understand something. I was trying to understand, why does NATO, which is led by the United States, why does NATO want to defeat Russia, allegedly, with Western military forces, you know, European militaries, and eventually the U.S. military with the coming draft? But surely their governments and their military leaders know that they can't beat Russia. So why are they trying to provoke Russia into a larger world war or European war when these Western nations know they can't beat Russia? Why would they keep sending more and more men into the theater of war with Russia, knowing that they're going to die by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions? Because this is what they've done in Ukraine. About 500,000 Ukrainian soldiers are dead or wounded or seriously wounded, unable to fight. And by some estimates, it's much larger than that. And yet Zelensky is trying to find 500,000 more. Why? And why would the West follow the same strategy? And then it hit me. It hit me. And this has everything to do with the illegal immigration and the Supreme Court decision. Think about it. It all makes sense. The leaders of the United States, of course, they want to exterminate Americans. And Russia's war machine is the perfect depopulation grinder. All they got to do is start a world war with Russia and then draft all the young men in Germany or France or the UK or Greece or Italy or wherever, Poland and the US and Canada, and just throw them at the Russians, hoping they get killed. You see what I'm saying? This is the depopulation grinder. Russia is really good at killing people in a land war, as Russia's defenses are, you know, well established and very functional. And I made the mistake of thinking that NATO wanted to win the war with Russia. What if they don't? What if the U.S. doesn't want to win the war with Russia? Instead, the U.S. wants to use the war with Russia as a way to exterminate millions of Americans that they didn't quite catch with the vaccine bioweapons. You know, the vaccines didn't kill as many as they had hoped, but thanks to the high effectiveness of Russia's war machine, well, Western leaders have found a new way to exterminate their own citizens while they're being replaced by illegals coming across the border. Think about it. So they round up all the Americans in a draft, or the young Americans, ship them off to Europe to die on the front lines with Russia, or to die on behalf of the Zionists in the Middle East. And then it's mission accomplished, according to Biden and Obama and the globalists. Like, they want to exterminate Americans, and then they just replace them with all the illegals that the Supreme Court orders to sweep across the border. For every American that gets killed in this coming world war, there's an illegal ready to take their house, take over their role in the community, take their livelihood, to inherit the country. So this is a way to accelerate the replacement. They have to exterminate the American people, so they need war for that reason, and they don't even need to win the war. You understand? They actually want to lose the war, at least in this theory. This is just a realization that hit me. I can't prove that it's true, but it's like, all of a sudden, I realized that losing the war with Russia accomplishes a far more important goal in the minds of those globalists that want to exterminate the American people. They want to lose, but they want to lose big and accomplish mass extermination. You know, and maybe they'll release another bioweapon at the same time, too. You know, disease X or whatever. Maybe they'll have more vaccine mandates, more chemtrails. But war, oh, man. That's a really powerful accelerant of mass death. And then they can blame Russia. So how are they going to escalate this war? Well, Kim.com posted something that I think has a really good answer on that. Here's his post. There are whispers from Kiev that Zaluzhny has been the military leader who has been at odds with Zelensky, will be fired, and that CIA favorite Kirilo Budanov is taking over the Ukrainian armed forces. If it's true, here's why. The real president of Ukraine, Victoria Nuland, right, with the U.S. State Department, needs someone crazy enough to blow up a nuclear power plant, and Budanov is her guy. She needs a pretext for NATO troops to enter Ukraine urgently. Russia's winning the U.S. proxy war, and Nuland is running out of options. Yeah, Nuland is a crazy psychopath. In her deranged mind, the best way to get NATO involved is to harm Europeans with a radioactive cloud from a nuclear power plant that Russia allegedly destroyed. Of course, you know, it would be a false flag attack, destroy a nuclear power plant, and blame Russia, right? Kim.com continues, the propaganda media would sell the story and suppress the truth as it has done throughout the war. If Budanov executes Nuland's dirty plan, he would become the next Zelensky. They would make him president, in other words. That's her promise and his ambition. But Zaluzhny would leave a vacuum. Ukrainian soldiers are burned out. Assistance from the West has dried up temporarily. The push for Putin to end this war on Russia's terms is now. Expect a major push. So what Kim.com is really talking about here is a nuclear false flag event to be blamed on Russia in order to escalate the NATO war, which would justify a draft of U.S. soldiers and soldiers from other NATO countries to be thrown into the depopulation grinder, or the, you know, the frontline suicide machine, which is Russia's defensive line. So this is also consistent with what I realized today, which is that these Western nations, they don't want to necessarily defeat Russia, at least not right away. They want Russia to slaughter their own countrymen as a depopulation mechanism. We forget, you know, famine is a depopulation mechanism. Bioweapons injections, yeah, that's another mechanism. But war is a very powerful mechanism. And through war, they can slaughter millions or tens of millions of Europeans and Americans, and they can get away with it, and they can just blame Russia. That's what I think we're seeing. And this is why we have to be ready for mass chaos. I think Kim.com is onto something here. I think there could be a nuclear false flag event in Europe, which, based on prevailing winds, would likely send a cloud of radiation westward across portions of Western Europe. And there would be worldwide panic over that, and a worldwide call, you know, that Putin must be stopped at all costs. You know, sound the alarm, cancel the elections, call up the draft, deploy everything. That's what you would see the media do. Even as Putin and Russia's defense minister would say, it wasn't us. And then the Western media would say, well, Putin's a liar. You know what I mean? Because that's all they ever say. Putin lies, but we always tell the truth. We're the CIA, you know. Laughable. Clown show. But this is exactly the excuse they're looking for. So we need to get ready for some kind of major escalation event like this. And such an event could be a grid-down cyber assault on America. It could be a false flag cyber attack. It could be a banking system failure. It could be a nuclear event in the United States, nuclear terrorism. But I think a grid-down event is actually one of the more likely events to take place. You know, something to kind of shock America, kind of like a power grid 9/11. Remember what 9/11 did was it got almost all Americans fully behind President Bush to do anything that he wanted to do. 9/11 scared America. Oh, my gosh, we've been attacked on our soil. We're with you, Mr. President, even though it was all a giant manipulation, a giant false flag event carried out by the government itself. But the American people were manipulated and they got behind it. So I think a similar event is coming. A grid down false flag event to jolt Americans into a state of extreme fear. And the media will be ready to report, oh, Russia has attacked with the help of North Korean hackers, Norks. And they've taken down the power grid and we're vulnerable. And this is why we have to stop Russia. And then the next day, and a nuclear power plant was detonated by Putin. And all of Western Europe is threatened. And Putin has to be stopped. And, you know, 90% of the American people will get on board and say, oh, my gosh, we'll give up all our rights and liberties and anything. Please keep us safe, Biden. Please, Joe, keep us safe, because they'll give up all their liberty for a little bit more of an illusion of security. That's been proven time and time again. And that's why, you know, we seriously have to be prepared, like satellite phones. I mean, they are a sponsor of my show, I know, but it's really important to plug them right here. Backup communications matter. You need a backup way to communicate with loved ones, tell them you're okay, or to reach out to them, or tell them where you are, tell them you need help. Satellite phones accomplish that. SAT123.com. That's the website. Go to the satellite phone store there. They've got phones in stock. I mean, they make it affordable. Monthly payments. You get minutes. They roll over if you don't use them. You can save them up. They don't expire. And after a certain number of months, you own the phone outright. Check it out, SAT123.com. Just have backup communications, or if that's more than you need, you know, ham radio. But just have some form of backup communications that can really work for you. They've also got the Bivy sticks, you know, two-way satellite text messaging. They're more affordable than the satellite phones. You can send and receive texts even when the cell towers are down, even when the power grid's down. As long as you have a mobile device that works and has Bluetooth, you can use that to compose and read the text, and then this thing just talks to the sky. You just point it at the sky and talks to satellites, sends and receives to anybody, anywhere in the world. Good tech, life-saving tech. And by the way, right after the draft and when they're pushing millions of Americans over into Europe to die at the hands of Russia, do you realize how vulnerable America would be right then? Vulnerable to the purge day, the activation day, with all those 10 million plus military age males, many of them from communist China, many of them former prisoners and MS-13 gang members and so on. They get activated domestically in the United States after the U.S. ships half the males, half the young males out of the country to die in Europe. You realize how effective that evil plan would be? I mean, it's the perfect plan. Also, the U.S. is shipping all the munitions and, you know, military gear and tanks and artillery over to Europe, leaving America defenseless at home, lacking young men, lacking armaments, lacking, you know, military equipment. And then, boom, China announces its activation day. And then all of a sudden, everywhere across America, all these illegals, these occupying enemy forces, they go active. They start sabotaging the power grids. You know the scenario. They start assassinating mayors and police chiefs and senators and anybody they can find. They just start tearing down America from within while the U.S. Supreme Court just laughs. Ha, 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 mission accomplished, you know. We did it together. Sotomayor is like super, super happy. Muy felicidad. You know, she's like all screaming. She's totally ecstatic. Finally taking down America. Made it happen. Yeah, Barack Obama, he could just drop all the fakery. He'd be so happy that America is being destroyed. He could just drop any pretense. He could just admit that he's actually a Muslim, you know, that he's gay, that his partner is a transgender, you know, and that he was the first gay president, you know, and he really destroyed America. Got him good for those 8 years. And I'm sure he'd be celebrating and all the leftists would be celebrating, you know, right before they have their throats slit by the occupying enemy communist forces that are going to try to kill everybody. By the way, they're not going to keep alive those who cooperated with them. You know, their goal as enemy occupying forces in America is to exterminate all Americans, to replace them all. And so they're going to run around hunting down and killing, you know, everybody, every citizen. And you're going to ask, well, where's all the young men who are supposed to protect us? Oh, yeah, they were drafted and shipped off to die on the front lines with Russia. See how that works? Quite a little plan there, huh? A little evil plan, anyway. I mean, let's hope it doesn't come to that, but I ask you this realistic question. Who's stopping it? I mean, Ken Paxton tried to stop it in Texas. Governor Abbott tried to put up just a fence. And the Supreme Court says, no, you got to tear it down. I mean, so who's stopping the scenario that I just laid out for you there? Kind of a worst case scenario. But I ask you again, tell me how that doesn't happen, because we're on track to that happening. We're on track. And if all of this is true, then it means that Russia is just going to be using Americans for target practice, kind of in the same way that Israelis, the IDF members, use Palestinians for target practice, of course. They care nothing about their lives. Just like the globalists care nothing about the lives of Americans. Just send them into Russia. Die, you know. They actually want you to die. You're being replaced. And now then, as all of this is happening, this kind of leads me to our upcoming interview with David Webb. There's going to be an engineered financial collapse and a total theft of most assets. Any assets that are in securities, for sure, will be confiscated, gone. pensions, you know, hedge funds, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, whatever, all going to be confiscated. It's already been put in place across all 50 U.S. states, all the laws for this. And David Webb, who's the author of The Great Taking, explains how this is going to happen in this interview. In other words, any assets that you have invested in the system through securities, you know, stocks and things like I just said, they will be gone. I mean, gone from your hands. They'll just be confiscated. It'll be a giant kind of bail-in. And the system will undergo a great reset and a great taking. They're going to take everything from you. Remember, you will own nothing and be happy and eat the bugs. Someone reminded me today that the reason they want everybody to eat the bugs is because lizard people eat bugs anyway. I thought that was pretty funny. But you'll be left with nothing other than what you have off grid. So those of you who are wise enough to have gold and silver and land and gold backs and ammunition and whatever else, well, you're still going to have those things. They're not going to be able to just electronically claim them, you know, steal them from you through some rule of law, a little sleight of hand lawfare thing. But if all your assets are tied up in stocks and bonds and securities, you're going to lose them all. You're going to go to zero overnight. That's what David Webb is warning about. And he should know. He used to run a hedge fund. He saw this being put in place. And by the way, the BRICS nations are working overtime to bypass the dollar anyway. There was a really great analysis of this on RT that talked about countries moving away from the dollar and moving to the yuan. So it lists some of the countries, like Russia is trading with China in the yuan in, you know, all kinds of goods. The Chinese yuan was used in 34% of Russian imports and 25% of exports as of July 2023. Okay, Argentina. Argentina and China have a bilateral swap line worth $11 billion that began in 2014. And they're using some of that in cross-country settlement and trade. Now, Saudi Arabia is another one. Saudi Arabia has a line of credit with China, swap lines in the yuan worth about $7 billion. And China surpassed the United States as Saudi Arabia's largest trading partner in 2011. And then it's been increasing even more since then. So the Saudis don't need America. And then Brazil. Brazil and China set up a new agreement in February of 2023 to have the yuan clearing arrangements in Brazil. They have a currency swap agreement that has completely removed the dollar. And the Brazilian president, Luiz Lula da Silva, has visited China and criticized the dollar's dominant role in global trade. And then there's Iran. Iran has been completely out of the Western financial system for over a decade because of all the sanctions carried out by the West. China has been buying oil from Iran since 2012. And Iran and China will be exchanging more and more in the yuan currency, just as India will, and Turkey and you know, many other countries. The dollar is, it's slowly moving to the trash heap of history. So listen to this interview with David Webb. You'll learn a lot. And then I'll be back on the other side with some final thoughts for today's broadcast. Here we go. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. You're going to love this one because we have with us first-time guest David Webb. He's the creator of The Great Taking. That's his website, thegreattaking.com, where he has a free-to-view documentary and a book download there that I consider must-read, must-watch information, because what he's about to lay out for you here today, it should be absolutely shocking, not only for anybody watching, but for the history of what it means to have ownership and property and money. I mean, the history is about to change in ways, well, it's actually already sort of been put in motion in ways that most people can't grasp. So welcome, David Webb, to the show today. It's an honor to have you on. I'm a big fan of the work that you just put out. Everybody needs to see it, but it's great to have you here.
Mike, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, again, I'm honored to have you on. You're a former hedge fund manager and a financial analyst, and you want to give us, let's start with a kind of a summary breakdown of what is the great taking. You know, why should people pay attention?
Okay. Well, what has happened, there's a sleight of hand that has been implemented over decades to subvert property rights to securities and to allow collateral stocks and bonds to be taken on a large scale basis globally. So for 400 years, securities were personal property. And this has now been subverted. This has been replaced with a new legal concept of a security entitlement. And what that has done is to, sorry, my dog is bothering me while I'm doing this. What that has done is to convert the property right into a contractual claim, which gives it a very weak position in the event of insolvency, in the event of bankruptcy. And then things that were not property, things that were contractual claims, derivative instruments, which are contracts that would not have had a strong position in bankruptcy, these secured creditors behind these derivative contracts have been given a super priority claim to the underlying collateral.
Wow. So it seems like the system has been quietly rigged to favor the bankers and screw the people, if I could just put it bluntly.
Absolutely. It's a very sophisticated subterfuge that has been put in place. So this began in the 1960s, really, with steps to dematerialize securities, to do away with paper securities. And that was a precondition for severing the property rights. Then this securities entitlement was created. This concept was created in 1994 and implemented in the Uniform Commercial Code in the United States in all 50 states. It took some time for that to be put into state law in all 50 states. And what this does, well, we know about this irrefutably through a response that the Federal Reserve gave to something called the Legal Certainty Group, which was operating in Europe. So this structure was first put in place in the U.S., then Europe was pressured to conform to this. This was happening in essentially after the dot-com bust. This goes back a ways. This legal certainty group, what they meant by legal certainty, that sounds good, but what they meant by that is making it legally certain that the underlying collateral can be taken by the secured creditors without judicial review. So they were going through a process in Europe to figure out how to make that happen legally in Europe in conformance with this U.S. model. So the Legal Certainty Group sent a questionnaire to the Federal Reserve saying, show us how to do this. And we have that detailed response. It's so important historically And in terms of helping people understand that this is real, I included it as an appendix to the book in full.
And the book can be just downloaded from your website, right?
Downloaded free. It really has gone viral globally.
Oh, yeah. I've heard so many people talking about it. But I want, in a practical sense, I want to translate this to our audience, because so far, if this is the first time they're hearing about this, they don't yet understand what's about to happen. So when the banking system begins to suffer more failures, then if you think you own these instruments of assets, you know, stocks and bonds and perhaps treasuries and whatever, or derivatives, it turns out you don't own them.
Well, they have been, ownership has been replaced with this entitlement, which is also called a beneficial ownership. Now, you'll find this term used in some of your documents relating to your accounts, beneficial ownership. And it sounds good, but it's really just an appearance of ownership where you receive dividends, you get a proxy statement. Of course, you can buy and sell it and have a gain or loss on it. But that is distinct from legal ownership. Legal ownership goes with the use of that security as collateral. So when the public, including all pension funds throughout the entire system, it is an appearance of ownership. So let me try to explain how this subterfuge works. All securities are, and we know this from the Fed response, all securities are held in pooled form. They're held in book entry, electronic, you know, registration of ownership, but they're held in these vast pools of securities. And the custodians, the financial system has unlimited use without restriction of these pooled securities as collateral. And they simply refer to this as established practice. This is what we do. And this Fed response makes it clear that even securities which are segregated are in the same pool and only entitled to a pro rata share of what remains in the pool after the secured creditors have taken the securities over which they've perfected legal control.
So wait a second. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're saying that a pension management fund can use the pensions that are, quote, owned by, let's say, you know, the former employees of a city or a state or what have you, or a company. They can use that as collateral to make risky bets. And
it's actually worse than that.
Worse than that.
The pension fund is not doing it. The pension fund managers are not even aware this is happening.
So where is the risk injected into the system by leveraging those assets?
Well, the public, the fund managers, are not aware this is happening. These pools of securities are being used in this way, essentially constantly. At this point, this is what is underpinning the derivatives complex. Let's look at it this way. Well, let's look at the case of Lehman Brothers, which I go into in the book. In the failure of Lehman, big entities that had their assets in custody at Lehman lost those assets in the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers. They were taken by J.P. Morgan Chase. Okay, so you're an institutional investor. You have your funds custodied at Lehman Brothers. Lehman, unbeknownst to those sophisticated investors, was using their assets as collateral for Lehman's derivatives trades.
Oh, you're kidding me.
That is what happens routinely. It is essentially forced to happen. So Lehman was using customer assets from sophisticated customers, underpinning Lehman's derivative trades. So when Lehman went bust, now this is the shocking thing. J.P. Morgan was the custodian for the client assets. There used to be an idea that the custodian had a fiduciary duty to the clients, but Lehman or J.P. Morgan was also the secured creditor that took the client assets. So both the custodian and the secured creditor that took the client assets in the bankruptcy. So 5 years later, there is a decision in the bankruptcy court, Southern District of Manhattan. Obviously, these fund entities were trying to get the assets back. And of course, this happened in the middle of a financial meltdown when they really would have liked to have their assets. So 5 years later now, this is having its day in court. And another piece of this is that the bankruptcy laws were changed in 2005, just before the financial crisis, to assure something called safe harbor, which again, like legal certainty, it sounds good, but it means safe harbor for the secured creditors to take the client assets in a bankruptcy, and for it to not be possible to challenge that. So in the case of Lehman, the bankruptcy judge found that J.P. Morgan was certainly entitled to take the client assets. The only question was whether J.P. Morgan was a member of the protected class.
Oh, yeah, this concept. We've got to talk about this protected class.
Yeah, it's in the decision is that J.P. Morgan is one of the largest financial institutions, is certainly a member of the protected class. So it's not all secured creditors that have this super priority to take the assets out of these pools. It is just the very largest banks.
Well, I noticed that J.P. Morgan, no matter what happens, even with the 2023 banking failures, you know, Silicon Valley Bank and so on, J.P. Morgan always ends up getting everything, usually at an incredible discount, thanks to the Fed acting on behalf of J.P. Morgan. So this is beyond the original too big to fail, you know, going back to long-term capital management back in 1997, I believe. This is beyond too big to fail. This is so big that nations bow down to J.P. Morgan, it seems like, at this point.
Well, yes, we know it's really, and I talk about this in the book, the real power behind everything is the central banks and the people that control the central banks. They control all political parties, all the media, all the governments. It's just that we're reaching a point in time now where it is becoming quite apparent if you really face up to it.
So then do you believe that there is either a deliberate or accidental set of circumstances coming that will cause cascading failures of financial institutions. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that you know, you can see that this this mechanism is sophisticated. It's been implemented over decades. It's absolutely planned. So this is, you know, I draw parallels in the documentary in the book with what happened in the 1930s, which was a collapse that was made to happen by the Federal Reserve. I think people have come to understand that. And so then everything was taken by precipitating a contraction in money supply, and then closing the banks, in which just suddenly closing all the banks, and the only banks that were allowed to reopen were banks selected by the Federal Reserve System,
the protected class at that time.
Yes. And what that did was really to destroy the part of the economy that was not controlled, was not reliant on the credit creation of the Federal Reserve. So this can be done basically any individuals, any businesses that had debt levels were in trouble, and their assets could be taken. And this is something that's gone on for centuries in that way. What's different this time is that there are innovations here to take even the financial assets that people believe they own free and clear, that have no borrowings against them.
Really? And like what, homes, vehicles?
No, I'm talking about the stocks and bonds.
Okay.
But, you know, if you homes, real property that is owned outright with no debt should be secure.
Okay. So you're talking about securities.
I'm talking about securities, but this is, you know, this is the purpose of the financialization bubble. All of society is broadly exposed to this and globally, and it will affect all people all the way to the top of the system.
What about bank accounts, you know, checking, savings accounts, corporate and personal?
Well, that's I go into that in the book. The insurance schemes that we have is a fig leaf. You know, it's about whether you're talking about the FDIC or the Bank Resolution Authority in Europe, it's about 2% of insured deposits, which is on the order, the value of that is about 200 billion either euros in Europe or dollars in the U.S., and people should understand the scale of that. 200 billion individual banks have derivatives exposures larger than global GDP.
That's extraordinary.
So, you know, the failure of one bank will certainly exhaust the deposit insurance. The $200 billion is not very much in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that once in the United States, once the FDIC is out of funds, then either the Treasury has to go to the Fed and say, print money so we can fund the FDIC to bail out these banks, or let them fail, let everybody lose their deposits. Neither one of these scenarios has a positive result here. I mean, they're both catastrophic in one way or another.
Yeah. Well, the problem is when you look into the industry discussions of the possibility of the failure of these institutions since the great financial crisis, the last one in 2008, 2009, they talk about the fact that the taxpayer will not pay for these failures when they come, which is a misdirection, a subterfuge. What they mean is that the state will not nationalize the banks. They don't want that. They want a private solution. So the public will bear the losses. This is where it's going. Of course, you know, there's a question of whether people will not stand for that in some country, but that's not the plan for the public, for these things to be nationalized and the public to be made whole.
So it looks like then the public are going to be suffering under extreme losses as cascading failures take place. Do you think, is part of this, in your view, maybe a plan to push people into CBDCs and start giving everybody a UBI and like bailout funds, but you have to sign up for this CBDC program? Is that part of it?
Yeah, I think that's quite clear. I mean, the CBDC, central bank digital currency development, is very advanced. You know, essentially all the G20 is in advanced stages of development or testing or nearly ready to launch these things. And that is the new control system. So people probably know something about CBDC at this point. It's something that basically can be turned on and off. If it can be controlled in terms of specifically what you can use it for. The populace is broadly controlled. This seems to be designed to put populations into a situation where they have no access to financial resources, and they will have no alternative but to begin using the CBDC, and that will be represented as help. Their help,
right?
We're coming to the rescue.
Yeah, it's like Ronald Reagan said, the most frightening words in the English language: "I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." Right? that's what it's going to be. And clearly, if you want to purchase groceries using your CBDC account, you're going to have to be fully compliant with every mandate that the government sets out, which could be anything. Could be vaccines, could be speech, could be, you know, that you not be a Trump supporter, right? I mean, it could be anything. They could just set all these guardrails of how you're allowed to use your money, and if you step outside the bounds, boom, you're cut off.
Yes. This is totalitarianism, and there's a long beginning to this. So it's a thread that runs through history going back into the 19th century. And what people don't know is that the banking interests have been on all sides of this, have been involved with developing totalitarianism and supporting it. It's really about central planning, central control. One of the things I've looked at recently is Friedrich Hayek's Road to Serfdom, which happened to be my grandfather's copy of the book from 1944. And at that point, the war isn't even over, but Friedrich Hayek, who's an Austrian, in Britain, he's worried that Britain is clearly going in the same direction in terms of these central planning totalitarian ideas. And it really began with the Fabians, which were promoting socialist economic ideas. But as Hayek, and to put this in perspective, you know, the London School of Economics was created by the Fabians. So this is the framework we've been living in.
Yes.
So it has a long beginning. Hayek points out that these ideas run through communism, socialism, national socialism. And he makes the point that the real world is so complex, it cannot be centrally planned. Right. If you really want to, if your goal is human happiness, human well-being, meeting unmet human needs, you need constantly reorganizing autonomous decision making.
Well look what that. I mean, we saw this in the US over the last few years with all the government grants and subsidies to these green energy companies that all went broke, just blowing through all this government money because it wasn't a free market decision. You know, it was just, hey, let's take government money, pay a bunch of salaries. We don't have to produce any products because we just have to say we're green. And that was their whole business model. And it just doesn't work. But I want to ask you this. I brought up the U.S. debt clock here on my screen. To my guys, yeah, show that. We just passed $34 trillion in the U.S. national debt. That happened just shortly ago, a few days ago. And it was only roughly 3 months ago that this passed $33 trillion. So we're doing $1 trillion a quarter in extra debt, and that doesn't even count the entitlements that are down here that are $212 trillion nearly, you know, unfunded entitlements and so on. Like, who's ever going to come up with that money? How long can this play out here, you think, David?
Now, this is what we're seeing. This is an end stage phenomena. This is, you know, coming back to what you were asking about earlier, where, you know, is this something planned in order to take everything? We're in the end stage of this, which is hyper financialization. And following this, there will be a bust and a prolonged low price level. And this is what allows the public to be suppressed and put into a condition of deprivation. So it's instructive to go back and look at what happened in the early 20th century. One thing I talk about in the book is the velocity of money, which is the relationship between money creation and economic growth. And if you imagine that you have a finite amount of money, if you're going to come up with money, you have to actually sell something. You have to sell something, your product or service, which puts a competitive pressure and holds price levels down. But if you come up with a way to create money out of nothing, it, to begin with, is an awesome power to have. It makes things happen that otherwise would not have happened. And that newly created money gets turned over many times within a year. So there's a very high velocity. Velocity is this multiplier, or the relationship between the end sales, the economic growth, and the money creation. So it used to be that this was maybe 7 or 8 times when money was created. The way I entered into this when I was managing these hedge funds in the aftermath of the Asian financial crisis. This was in the late 90s. This is when this velocity of money phenomena began rolling over, began collapsing. And I noticed it because I could see that strange things were happening in the financial markets in terms of how the markets behaved, moved up when there wasn't a reason for it. And I saw on the news that one explanation was that the Japanese central bank was recycling trade flows into U.S. treasuries. And I saw the scale of these purchases of treasury securities, and I thought, those are very big numbers. So I dug into it, and I found that the scale of these treasury purchases by the Japanese central bank was about 10 times whatever the trade surplus could be. So it was beginning even at that time in the late 90s. And then I started following what the Fed was doing through the open market operations of the New York Fed, the amount of new money being created. And I found that in individual weeks, the Fed was creating over 1% of U.S. GDP in new money.
Wow.
In a week. So if you annualize that, that's a big rate of growth on an economy that's maybe growing at 3% in a truly good year. So what we found was by the peak of the dot-com bubble in the fourth quarter of 99, the Fed was growing money at a 40% annual rate. So, you know, as I say in the book, if I knew this and I knew it in real time, I was watching it happen. The Fed knew they were doing that. So why did they do it? You know, they create these bubbles and crises.
So we've been living for decades in an artificial money creation or cheap money, easy money environment that has inflated the perceived values of everything from real estate to the stock market.
Yes. So now why is that happening? Once you transition to a point where the money creation is not going into the real economy, it increasingly goes into just what you're saying, financial assets.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention, it also goes into warfare and social control because it is an end stage phenomena. So we have had escalating, basically it's 9/11, global war on terror, a lot of strange things happening.
Yeah.
The U.S. certainly isn't what it was before 2000. And it just keeps getting more and more bizarre.
I noticed, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I noticed that too, that the what's happening in the Middle East right now sort of picked up right from where Bush left off, you know, in the early 2000s. And remember, they were talking about destroying a certain number of nations like Libya, which, you know, they checked that one off the checklist. They got Libya, and they want to destroy Syria, you know, and they want to destroy all these other nations there. That's back on track, it seems, again. But I want to ask you, you said a bust is coming earlier. So I guess the bust, I want to ask you about more details, what's going to bust, but the bust would follow the contraction of all of this excess money that's been created, right?
Yeah, well, we're in this end stage phenomena. The velocity of money has now collapsed to a lower level than at any point during World War I, the Great Depression, World War II. This is a profound collapse, and that basically means that no matter how much money is created, it's without correspondence with what is happening in the real economy. It's blowing out the money creation.
So what does that look like as it reaches its end stage? I mean, just crazy money printing, $1 trillion a month added to the national debt, or what?
Exactly what you pointed to. It goes into hyperfinancialization, and it goes into warfare and social control, because they're preparing for the collapse of the system. And the banking powers, their imperative is to stay in control through the collapse and the reset to a new system, which is will look a lot like central bank digital currency, and maybe some other things that aren't nice either. But you know, to draw the parallel, the last time this was happening, this collapse in velocity, it was happening leading into the 20th century, and in a very short period of time between 1912 and 1918, you had the collapse of the Qing Dynasty, the Turk-Ottoman Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Russian Empire, the German economy was completely destroyed, and the British Empire was past its zenith and really in collapse. So that's how profound this is.
Well, and I would argue the German economy is collapsing again now. The British power over the world is all but gone. It doesn't even have a military that can function for more than about a week now. And you know, the collapse of Western Europe, the economic collapse, the energy collapse, the industrial collapse is now evident every single day.
Yes. It's I'd say it does not have to happen. I think it is made to happen. See, people need to understand how the central banking power works. You know, in the creation, it goes back, you know, the Bank of England operated this way. The Federal Reserve was created on the same model. And what they did is, you know, the Fed creates money from nothing to buy treasuries from the U.S. Treasury. And then the public, essentially through the government, pays interest to the central bank on this created debt, when otherwise the Treasury could have just issued that directly.
Right.
The central bank wouldn't have been involved. But the central bank now is receiving interest payments on the debt that's created. Then the central bank uses those Treasury securities as its capital base to make loans on top of that, which used to be 10 to 1, so 10 times the amount of Treasury debt created. Now, most people don't know, the reserve requirement was taken to zero in early 2000 at the beginning of the COVID period. So there is now no limit at all on the debt creation. And it is the central bank creates this debt out of nothing and collects interest. Then the banking system collects interest on this. And this is what provides this vast power that they have. And they're throughout history of the Bank of England and the history of the Federal Reserve, it is linked to warfare.
Uh-huh.
So they control the governments, they control the treasury, they control the militaries and the intelligence operations, and they must have warfare to not only to control things, but to expand the debt, continue expanding the debt massively. You can go back through history, the individual wars can increase the debt levels by, you know, 100-fold in a short Yes. period of time. And that's, so they basically, it's their business model. Warfare is their business model.
Good point. I think that just nails it right there. Now, in the few minutes we have left, David, I mean, this is already fascinating, But I want to ask you about the impact of the BRICS nations and their plans for, you know, international settlements in non-dollar denominated currencies. And isn't there a limit of how much currency the U.S., well, the Federal Reserve can create with the Treasury when foreign buyers of that debt are no longer interested in holding that? At what point do we reach that cycle where it's just the Fed printing money to buy Treasury debt, and it's this vicious, you know, reinforcing doom loop cycle? Or are we there now?
Yeah, I it's difficult to say because it's all of the central banks are in collusion in this. Essentially, it's a global cartel. So there aren't truly independent central bankers in this system. If you notice, countries that have attempted to not be part of the system are literally attacked.
Yes.
And destroyed.
They get bombed or assassinated or yeah.
So they have a comprehensive control globally. That's why things move in such lockstep. So I don't know. I don't know what will determine movement in relative exchange rates. Exchange rates between currencies. I have stopped worrying about that or thinking about it. It's a much bigger problem that we have.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, it seems like the people are facing a real catastrophic scenario. So the last question I have for you today is, what practical things can people look at to preserve their assets away from these securities that could be taken from them?
Yeah, I say to people, get real. So you move away from things that are constructs, and financial assets are. So the main thing is to eliminate debt if you can, and eliminate all debt. So while you're able to sell financial assets, it does make sense to be in debt and have money in the stock market, for example. You sell things, you pay down your debts. And that's the lesson from the Great Depression. You can get through it if you have no debt in your business, no debt personally. Now, however, I know that's going to be hard for a lot of people to face up to. And, I also say, look, don't do anything that will destroy the happiness of your family, your marriage, destroy your life. It's important that you can get through this, and there will be a lot of people who are in debt. So we'll get through it somehow. But if you can do things to where you can feel more comfortable and rest more easily by eliminating debt, you should do that. Then beyond that, you invest in real things. So things that you can have outright title to, hold without debt. I think people should think about getting through a difficult number of years. So think about your physical reality, where you are. It's good to have a means to produce at least some of your food. You might take money and build a greenhouse on your property. So you have a big garden, a small orchard, a greenhouse. When you look at episodes like this in the past, people who were on farms, as long as they didn't have debt, the children that grew up in those circumstances didn't even know there was a depression. But, the don't have everything in any one thing. There are, of course, there are people that, you know, are proponents of having the precious metals, and that's fine. But people should understand those, the longer this runs, that can also be confiscated. So if you have a lot of gold, but you haven't looked after your physical reality of where you're going to be living, you know, this is something I go into in the book. Basically, when they engineer a collapse like this, they do not want there to be a parallel system. They do not want people to have some recourse other than accepting this central bank digital currency. In the Federal Reserve, there's a wonderful book I would recommend. I read recently G. Edward Griffin's Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yes.
Tremendous
fan
resource.
Favorite.
And he explains in there, you know, the secret meeting at which this was planned, going into the memoirs, the writings of the people that were present at that meeting. One of the principal objectives was to make sure that an alternative to accepting credit from the Fed was eliminated.
Uh-huh.
They were concerned that the banking, the independent banks in the West and the South were growing rapidly, and that the economy was becoming largely self-financing. Of course, gold was held broadly by the public. Silver was held broadly by the public. And one of the principal things was to stop that. So they really engineered the collapse of the economy. I know it's hard for people to imagine this, that anyone would do that, but it worked for their purposes.
Well, for control, right.
The entire economy dependent on the Federal Reserve System. And for good measure, they set up the rationale that, well, we're going to have to confiscate all the gold because we are now going to run the system. So we have to have the gold so we can expand credit. They then did not use the gold to expand credit. They kept conditions tight. But this also meant that the public then did not have the gold to run a parallel system to
right.
carry on with hard money, gold-backed money, because the Fed had confiscated it, and the penalties were harsh, up to 10 years in prison, $10,000, which was
a lot of money then.
I think it was 2 years in prison and $10,000, but that was a lot of money then.
Yeah.
As a plea.
Well, David, I'm sorry to interrupt. We need to wrap it up right there.
Okay.
But maybe we can continue this conversation another time. I just want to make sure people understand your website, thegreattaking.com, is where people can get your book as a download and also
yes.
watch your documentary. And David, I really want to thank you for doing this and for taking the time to join us today. It's been fascinating.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you. We appreciate you. And thanks for speaking out on these topics.
Okay.
Thank All right.
you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, David. All right. For those of you watching, of course, David Webb there, thegreattaking.com. Feel free to post this interview on other channels if you'd like. Spread the word about this. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And I also believe that a major financial reset type of event is coming, which is why I've been talking for years about how we can stay safer during whatever collapse is being engineered. And a lot of people are going to get hurt for lack of knowledge. That's not you. If you're watching this, you are already way ahead of the game. So take action now. Do your research. Protect yourself. Make solid financial decisions. Get out of debt, like David said. And you can actually make it through this. You can navigate this much better than most people who don't know what's happening. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, Brighteon.com. God bless you all. Take care. All right. Hope you enjoyed that interview with David Webb. Very eye-opening, isn't it? Makes you want to get your money out of the grid system, you know?
And the options are the same as what I've mentioned for quite a long time. I mean, yeah, it's physical gold and silver. I've added gold backs to that recently. If you want to learn about that, our sponsored affiliate site is verifiedgoldbacks.com. Private crypto is another asset that won't be affected by the great taking, by the way. And you can watch my shows, my episodes on Decentralized TV to learn all about private crypto and some of the different projects that are out there, like Firo and Monero and Beam and a bunch of others. We're interviewing the founder of Firo again coming up real soon, so we should have an update. I don't know if he's the founder, actually. He's an active developer for Firo. All these crypto guys, they don't have official titles because they don't want to be. I mean, they're not, you know, even their organizations are decentralized, so they don't really have official titles. But if you're looking at physical gold and silver, our sponsor in that space is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. You can reach them at metalswithmike.com. They are a sponsor. However, we do not earn anything on your purchases there. They don't pay us a commission, but they are a sponsor. And they can get physical gold and silver into your hands so you can have self-custody, you know, insured, delivered, discreet, trustworthy. They also run IRS-approved silver IRAs, and they have vaulting services so they can have custody in their insured vaults if you're not set up to have custody yourself. So it's your choice. But think carefully about what you're doing here, folks. I mean, yes, as a disclaimer, I'm not your financial advisor, nor is David Webb. You're going to have to decide, you know, what experts to listen to. You should do your own research. You should get your own financial advisor who can assess your particular situation, because I don't know what your goals are, or I don't know what your assets are, or your goals, or your needs for liquidity in the years ahead. There's no way I can know that. So just do your own research, get your own expert advice, plan accordingly, make the best decision that will keep you in a position of having your assets even when the banks have bail-ins, or even when the currency collapses, or even when the great taking is activated, or even if we're in World War III. Just cover yourself. This year is going to get crazy. I think it's going to be the craziest year any of us have ever lived through. But whatever you do, stay informed. Share this podcast if you can. You know, we post this also on Rumble, by the way. We post it on band.video, but you can normally share Rumble links on Twitter or X. X still bans Brighttown.com links. Can you believe that? Elon Musk claims to be pro-free speech, but we're still banned? Yeah. Did you see Elon went on a tour of the Auschwitz Museum, the Holocaust Museum, with Ben Shapiro, who is an ethno-supremacist? Ben Shapiro believes that Zionists have some kind of divine right to rule over everybody else, and that no one has the same rights as Zionists. Only Zionists have these rights. That's Ben Shapiro. I mean, what a piece of work that guy is. And what is this with Elon Musk bowing down and licking the boots of the Zionazis here? I mean, what is this? What's Elon Musk trying to indicate? That, what, he's going to allow Israel to moderate X? Because it's already happening. Anybody critical of Israel is having their accounts clobbered and their reach is being clobbered. You can see it. Elon Musk is going all in with the Zionazis. You know, pretty sick. But what did you expect? I mean, he's the favorite of the military-industrial complex. I mean, he's dependent on their support. So, of course, he has to support Israel. He's got to support wars. He's got to support, you know, weapons and super secret orbital weapon platforms and bombs and whatever else. I mean, that's his business. I mean, what else did you expect? Oh, did you think Elon Musk was a hero for humanity? Come on. Come on. I mean, did you think Ben Shapiro was an American patriot? No. He doesn't give a crap about America. It's Israel first, America last. I mean, it's so obvious. It's right in your face. If you had any doubts whatsoever, just look at what they do. I think we should take Elon Musk on a tour of bombed out Gaza. How about that? Hey, Elon, come along. Let's take him through the rubble. And sandwiched under those floors of concrete are, you know, 12 children, partly decomposed bodies. There's your tour. You want to see a modern day Holocaust? Yeah, come on to Gaza. Maybe we can get the IDF to stop bombing it long enough for you to walk through the place and look around. I don't think Ben Shapiro is going to go with you because, you know, he's probably busy launching more bombs and carrying out genocide himself or something. I mean, that's satire, folks. Don't take it too seriously, but I'm trying to make a point. Why doesn't Elon Musk take a look at the victims of the Zionists and their genocide against humanity? Because, you know, the Jews weren't the only ethnic group that has been victimized in history by totalitarian regimes run by war criminal lunatics like Hitler or Stalin or Netanyahu, for that matter. All the same mindset of people. Don't ignore the suffering of people in 2024 while you're visiting your museum looking at the suffering of people in 1943. All Holocausts are wrong. All ethnic cleansing is wrong. And if you really want to honor humanity, tell Israel to stop dropping bombs on civilians in Gaza, Elon. Folks, that's why you should get off these corporate controlled platforms anyway. You should get off X. You should use Bastion. B-A-S-T-Y-O-N. Bastion.com. B-A-S-T-Y-O-N. Download the client. Create an account. It's distributed, peer-to-peer, decentralized. It works even when IP addresses don't work. I mean, when domain names don't work. Even if the government throws the internet kill switch and takes down the DNS root servers, Bastion will still work because it's peer-to-peer. Censorship is not even possible on Bastion. Even the developers who wrote it can't censor people. My user account there is @HealthRanger. And I post there everything that I'm posting on Brightown.social or Telegram. And Bastion is our emergency alert channel. So if the internet kill switch is activated, which is probably coming, and if they take down Brightown and they take down Natural News and they take down everything, well, I'm going to get emergency alerts out to you on Bastion. So install the client app today, Bastion.com, download the app. They've got it for Mac and Windows and whatever. Run the app. Follow my channel @HealthRanger and just start checking out the alerts every day, because that can bypass censorship and martial law and, you know, government collusion and everything else. Bastion.com. And stop making Elon Musk even more rich by using his platform. I mean, granted, I use his platform too, but I use Bastion and I use Brightown Social and I use Telegram, and I try to encourage people to get off of X. I mean, why should one man control who gets to speak on a platform? That's crazy. That's anti-democratic. That's authoritarian. Why should Elon Musk get to decide who speaks and who doesn't? It's not right. And we shouldn't support that platform. And over time, by the way, you know, even our own Brightown.com, it's going to become more and more decentralized. That's our goal. We're working on it. Because I don't like centrally hosting stuff and even being in a position to have to censor or to even be able to censor. I think it should all be decentralized. Web 3.0, you know? But that's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening. I thank you for your support. But we, the American people, we are in deep, deep trouble right now. In fact, we, humanity, we are in deep trouble because the most evil anti-human MFers imaginable are in charge of our planet. They're in charge of our nations. They're in charge of big tech, big pharma, the media, the universities, all of it. And they want to absolutely annihilate humanity. And here we are fighting against that every single day on Team Humanity. We're doing the best we can with our very limited resources, but we're only even alive here because of your support. So thank you for your support. Continue to shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. Check out our hundreds of products, nutritional, superfoods, personal care, personal deodorant, body soap, dishwasher, detergent without all the toxic chemicals, all kinds of things, survival supplies, our custom knives, and much more. The seed kits from ARC Seed Kits, just go to healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support and continue to check out our other platforms like Brighteon.social and also Brighteon.tv. God bless you all. I pray for your safety and I pray for this nation and I pray for the state of Texas as well. God bless you. Yep. Take care.
Today's segment is brought to you by Goldbacks, which is what I'm holding in my hands right here. This is a stack of Goldbacks and these contain actual verified physical gold in every one of the Goldbacks. These are labeled ones and they contain 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold. It's actually built into the note itself. You can find more information about this at my website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, which is our affiliate site. We do earn a small percentage on your purchases here that helps support the program. This shows my laboratory testing results where I tested using a kiln method and an ICP-MS mass spec method and also an acid stone method. I tested the gold mass, there it is on an analytical balance, and the gold purity for each of the different bills that are available here, the denominations. Now, Goldbacks are available in ones, fives, tens, 25s, and 50s. And what's amazing about them is that they make gold spendable and highly divisible. You know, normally you can't take a gold coin and just hand somebody 1/1000th of a coin. That's almost impossible to carry out. But with Goldbacks here, I can do that. This is 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in my hands, verified. I know the gold is actually in here. You can melt it down and get the gold. And so I can give this to somebody as a gift or as payment or in exchange, and it makes gold spendable. And unlike crypto, it doesn't require the power grid to function, doesn't require the internet to function. This is off-grid money. It's outside the banking system, and it doesn't require electricity to function. This is a stack of 100 of the Goldback ones, and you can buy these stacks at verifiedgoldbacks.com. Let me show you actually the recovery percentages here. If you scroll down, oh, there's some of the gold foil that you get when you melt a 50. That's what it looks like in my hand there. This is one of the kilns that we use. And continuing, here's the recoveries right here. We recovered 102% on the minimum and about 107% maximum from these Goldback bills. So in every case, we recovered more than 100%. And that's what these masses are here. Phase two, this is the final mass. And it shows you how that's more than what was expected. So you're actually getting all the gold that's promised and a little bit more. And here's the purity numbers. We found very small parts per million, traces of magnesium, iron, copper, zinc, silver, and lead, which shows that this is over 24 karat gold. And by the way, this is always very common in gold. You're going to get some impurities, and that's why it's called 24 karat and not 100% pure gold. Anyway, we did acid stone test results and so on. You can check out all of this at verifiedgoldbacks.com. Get these into your hands. They're gorgeous to look at. People absolutely love them. They love them as gifts. And again, it's instantly spendable assets with real physical gold in them, which means you don't have to have, you know, faith and trust in a government for these to hold value. No government issues these. No government even recognizes them as currency. No, they're gold, which transcends every government and has outlasted every government in the history of the world. Gold will be here when the dollar collapses. Gold will be here when the yen collapses, when the euro collapses, when the United States of America as a government collapses, gold will still be here and gold will still hold value. So do your own research. Don't take this as financial advice, of course. I'm not your financial advisor, but I'm adding these to my own preparedness activities because I recognize the practical utility of these. And in my experience, everybody that I've handed them to has instantly recognized their value. And frankly, they want more of them. So check it out, verifiedgoldbacks.com. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.